Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Text 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tadarshanalad Ivitas Sambhama Te Nurdaroma Shukala Kulekshana Vitaravaskandya Sitesh Vicheshtita Prabhur Amun Yangvi Rajam Shaho Yati. Increasingly agitated by ecstasy at seeing the Lord's footprints, his bodily hair is standing on end because of his pure love, and his eyes filled with tears. Akura jumped down from his chariot and began rolling about among those footprints, exclaiming, "Ah, this is the dust from my master's feet." Omijanatamanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Indulatam Yena Tajmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Gushtam Napitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Tapadantitam Vanshakopa Turupyascha Kripasindu Bayevacha Patikanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktabinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Sridham Mayapur, our host server who organized the Sanghas, Rati Krishna. We just came last night. Also a few other people here that I know. And we rented a boat. Really nice covered boat, and then just took a two-hour ride down the Ganga. With kirtan and with katha. And it was a very, very, you know, beautiful thing. The breeze coming up, of course, probably a lot of you in Jersey and the East Coast, and heard there's an incredible cold. Weather was ideal. It was really nice. And to experience Mayapur as to experience Mayapur as Odarya Dham, the place of magnanimity. mercy. Different holy dhams have different effects. And it says that you can get love of Godhead in Vrindavan by Mayapur, by the kirtan, Jagannath Puri by the Prasad, and Vrindavan by and Vrindavan by the dust of Vrindavan. And the mood is Madhurya. There's some real deep intimacy with God, where in Mayapur there's intimacy, but there's also a special feeling of compassion, real magnanimity. But Vrindavan is the dust, and here Akura is expressing his reaction by, or the result of attaining Vrindavan. In the Bhagavatam, every day I'm lecturing in the Vaishnava Academy. It's wonderful. It's one of the highlights of my year. There's at least between 75 and 100 people come every night. And I'm doing Krishna Leela, doing the pastimes of Krishna, and then Krishna entering into the forest of Vrindavan, because he had just become 6 years old and his body has grown to a suitable age to engage in deeper and deeper transcendental mellows. And also the age where his parents at the same time have given him care of the cows, which means that his service has changed. When he was Kumar, under six, he was taking care of the calves. And he would take care of the calves, that's near the home, and the cows, you have to go out to the forests and go to the very various pasturing grounds. And you can see how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I always remember getting the Krishna book in college. And at the same time I was studying philosophy, and I noted that the definition of God is that being of which no greater can be conceived. And when when it was when I read about Krishna, who was Advayam Gyan, he was this conscious being who is omniscient, omnipotent, infinite, inclusive of everything, but without the defect of personality and body, which embodied everything. And reading the sweetness of his exchanges, then it just dawned on me, this must be God. Because I can't conceive of anything greater than the ultimate reality as a person. And in fact, to deny that within the absolute reality was limiting the absolute reality. So it's such a relish, a deep, deep relish, a deep Krishna anushilanam, a meditation on Krishna, to be able to exchange his pastimes in an audience that has faith. that has some experience of that reality in terms of the holy name, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the holy Dham, the deities, where they have a communion with God. And the just the image, what did it say? Punya Vrindavanam Ativa, Punyam Ativa Vrindavanam. Punya means pious, Ativa, extremely pious. Vrindavan is extremely pious because of the connection with God. And that's what piety means. Piety means to connect with reality. And impiety means to disconnect with reality. Because the connection with reality is real. And the disconnect from reality happens only in illusion. It's real. And Vrindavan, the image of Krishna's beautiful lotus feet touching the ground, the soft sands of Vrindavan, which are valued by the revelation of that direct contact. So, but still, to understand Krishna, because for the greatness of personality to be understood, there must be relationship with that personality. Because personality, which is our inner love, our inner nature of love, in different relationships, our friendship, our romance, our parental sentiments, which is the supremacy of person, is only revealed in relationship. And if relationship is not there, you cannot see greatness in that being. If the greatness is personality, it will not be it cannot be seen without relationship. So if the greatness of God is personality, without relationship, we cannot see the greatness. But what will we see? We won't see grandeur because grandeur covers personality. So we'll either see grandeur because Krishna's coming at Naralila, just a form like ours, and we won't see... We won't see Aishwarya, we won't see Madhurya. We won't see God's grandeur, we won't see God's personality. So what do we see? What's without grandeur and what's without the personality? That's us. Without the Madhurya, the sweetness of perfect love, and without the grandeur, the Aishwarya of power, then what do you see? You don't see something very much different than ourselves. So therefore, to hear Krishna's pastimes properly, you either have to have some understanding of tattva, understanding of philosophy, that this is great. This form is great. Or you have to have some relationship so you experience the opulence of the personality of God. And what is that like? What is that like to feel love from the source of love? And to have love for the source of love. So therefore, the Bhagavatam is the 10th canto, because if you just plunge into it without knowledge and without relationship, what you will see will not impress you. And in fact, what you see is very little of what's there. So therefore, the Bhagavatam has 9 cantos. And I explained this many times. Without knowledge, you'll see God as mythological. And without detachment, you'll see God as mundane. So the Bhagavatam purifies one and cultivates a consciousness by which you can see what's there, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, when I do speak about the intimate pastimes of Krishna, to be empowered to explain it in line with Srila Prabhupada, I couch the descriptions in tattva or philosophy. Remember, I was in New York, and my godbrother Pradyumna, also known Paul Sherbaugh, really, I don't think there's anyone in the world as gifted as him in conceptualizing and expressing philosophy. I really don't. And he saw a kirtan that disturbed him as a representative of Prabhupada and the tradition by the force of his knowledge. Because he saw like a wild, ecstatic dancing. And he was concerned about sahajism. And this is a term where that describes when spiritual achievements are, when spiritual achievements come easily, they're only imitation. I mean, of course, there's ways to get special mercy, but generally, a spiritual attainment is the result of some kind of work. And when it comes without the work, it's called sahaja, sahaja. Saha means easily, ja, it's born easily, but it's not born easily. If your spiritual sentiments are born easily, they are not real. And the example is given, just like a mother, when she gives birth to a child, it's not easy. It's 9 months. She has this thing, this fetus in the womb. It's not easy to carry. And then there's labor, which is so arduous and so difficult. Then the beautiful child is born. But if a child comes easily, it's not actually a child. It must be fake. If it comes immediately without 9 months, without labor, then what is it? So if our devotional sentiments come easy, without 9 cantos and some labor, then what is it? It's sahajya. And people who are known for their spiritual attainment are also known for the effort they have put into it. Chanting lakhs of rounds, preaching nonstop, distributing books day after day. I was telling the story of Mother Gauri, one of my god sisters who died in the most glorious conscious way in Vrindavan. But she worked so hard in Prabhupada's mission. She worked so hard. So there are 9 cantos. And there's some tattva, there's some subject matter. There's Achasargas, Visargas, Jaya. Dhir, Poshan, and Uttaya. There's Sarga, Visarga. There's different subjects about God. You have to understand. Then we can enter into a relationship with God. You can't enter into a relationship with something you misunderstand. We're in a very wonderful story. And those who have been with me in the Sangha here, we've covered so many subject matters. Occasionally, we discuss the 10th canto. And we couch it in tattva, or the philosophy, so that it can be understood. So we're on the story of Akura. Who Kamsa has given the mission to call Krishna to Mathura. And he's so excited that he's going to see Krishna. And that's bhakti. Bhakti means enthusiasm. Krishna kirtana dhana nartana pano premamrito. First quality of the Goswamis is Krishna kirtana ut kirtana. They chanted with enthusiasm. Evam vritatsa priyanama krita. In this way, what is the perfection of life? It's chanting the names of your beloved Lord. But in what way? Without inhibition. Without attachment, with enthusiasm. With enthusiasm. So Kura, he has enthusiasm. And that's the qualification for bhakti. It's a desire. It's a desire to be with Krishna. It's a desire to serve Krishna. It's a desire to have a relationship with Krishna. And that's what brings us to the goal of bhakti. And one of the ways we get that enthusiasm is by hearing about it. Hearing about something that's glorious. And what is glorious? God is glorious. And what is glorious? Love for God is glorious. So when you hear about God and you hear about love for God, that is glorious. And something which is glorious attracts us. We begin to want it. And what can be a more intelligent goal than bhakti, than the topmost love of God? What can be a better goal? Because what can be more satisfying in heart? And specifically, the qualification for it is our strong desire that beg, borrow, or steal. I remember when Iendra came into my room crying and crying and crying that he wanted to understand his relationship with Krishna. That's when spiritual advancement, when it becomes your obsession. And pure devotees are obsessed with God. But it's not narrowing their love. It's broadening their love. Because the concept of loving God means the love of everything, because within that embodiment of God is everything. And that is the being of which no greater can be conceived. So he has this wonderful anticipation. He's thinking when he'll come, and he's thinking the greatness of God. And I mean, it's kind of a theme that's come up many, many times, and I think it's worth repeating. But real appreciation of God, when it's God, is that entity is so far beyond us. And therefore, a dust particle that touches the feet of that entity is worthy to be placed on our heads. And therefore, bhakti is a process of humility. Because we never feel we can deserve. When you cannot pay for something, that is humbling. It's humbling when you want to buy a car and all you have is $2 to your name. You want to buy a house that's worth $250,000 and you only have $500.50 in the bank. It's humbling when you want God and you know how little you can pay in relationship to the worth of what you are seeking. And when you feel that way, it may attract the mercy of God to let you have him even though you can't pay for him. So this is the mood of Akura, meditating deeply on Krishna. Then he sees those footprints. The dust which the rulers of the universe hold on their crowns. And he sees those footprints. And he becomes in ecstasy. because it is a relationship to the God whom one has prema for, and therefore in connection with the object of your love. That's ecstasy. And ecstasy is love. So Tadarshana, when he had the darshan of those footprints, Lada, Vibrata, his ecstasy greatly increased. Sambrahma, Prema. Agitated by the ecstasy, and out of pure love. And Urva, Rama, the hairs standing on head, Ashru, cup, teardrops fill the eyes. These are all symptoms of bhava. And then he jumped down and he began rolling in those footprints, exclaiming, "This is the dust from my master's feet." That is bhakti. It's appreciation of the God who is so great that the smallest connection with one brings one to the ground. Deham vritam viyamarto itta dambam viyam shucham vedeshadyo harir linga darshana shravana divi. The very goal of life for all embodied beings is this ecstasy. That's the goal. Vihabhritam artha. This is the goal. Ecstasy. What else can be the goal but ecstasy? Existential ecstasy. Something that's real. Not just mental fantasy. The very goal is this ecstasy, which occurs experience and upon receiving Kamsa's order. He put aside all pride, fear, and lamentation, and absorbed himself in seeing, hearing, and describing the things that reminded him of Krishna. So he achieved this when he put aside all pride, fear, and lamentation, and absorbed himself in seeing, hearing, and describing. Darshana, Shravana, Adivi, when he began to hear and describe Krishna. And see things that reminded him of Krishna. When you, without mental hesitation, when without mental hesitation, you go for it in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't mean renounce things. It means dedicate things. Prabhupada said, you know, Krishna consciousness is simple. From this day I am yours. So bhakti can be described as a gradual process. It could be described as something that happens very quickly when one surrenders and commits himself to God. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Akura gave up fear by openly showing his love and reverence for Krishna, though he or his family might have been punished by the angry Kamsa. The fear of giving up Krishna became greater than the fear of retribution from worshiping him. And that's apatiyata, that's when bhakti is unbroken. And there's nothing greater than doing it, and there's nothing more painful than giving it up. Akura gave up his pride in being an aristocratic member of society and worshiped the cowherd residents of the simple village of Vrindavan. He gave up his pride. Now, Radhanath Swami used to tell the story on his parikram that he had one of the most wealthy families in India. And the man became a devotee. So he came to the program, and naturally he's very wealthy, has a driver. The driver also became a devotee. And then when the kirtan started to get going and people were dancing madly in the circle, the aristocratic man was dancing with his driver. A lot of times we have pride. We can't associate equally with people who are not of our class. Sometimes you even see that in the modern world with people who become celebrities. You know, they don't like to be with the common people. Or people who are aspiring to be with the celebrities. He gave up lamenting for his house, wife, and family, but you're in danger from King Kamsa. Giving up these things, he rolled in the dust and below his feet of God. He took shelter. And when you take shelter in God, you have faith and you experience. Well, you experience and have faith that God is maintaining you. And he's protecting you. And when you do God's service and live that type of life, you become convinced that whatever happens to you is best. Darsha Krishnam Ramancha Vajego Dahanam. Okay, the next verse we'll do the next time. Are there any questions? Would anybody like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bob. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Malone.
Malone. Okay. A few more days, yeah. We'll be together in India. Looking
yeah,
forward to
I can't wait.
Day. Thank you.
Thank
I
you
can't
for such a beautiful
to
class
you
today. Me too.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm absorbed here in Mayapur in Hari Katha, explaining all these things. So it's fresh on my mind. Thank you, Malone. Anybody else like to say hello?
I did have a question. Is there time?
Yeah, there is.
you know, the pure devotees, they love Krishna for who he is, not for anything that they get from him. So, can you tell me something concrete, you know, about what it is that's enough to satisfy them without them getting anything personal, whether, you know, on a bodily level or a mental level from him? You know, what is it that makes them not
When you love, you don't seek anything, but you get everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because the love itself is everything. And therefore, Krishna told the gopis, there's no way I can repay you for what you've done to me. You'll have to be satisfied with the love itself. So your desire, and we have desire, and we discuss it. Desire doesn't have to be selfish, because you can desire. What you want is the pleasure of someone else. But that itself is happiness and love. So when we actually become selfless, and we're not seeking anything from ourselves, we just want to please Krishna. And that is the highest platform. We just want to please Krishna. That is the greatest happiness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Sundarananda Gopal.
Sundarananda Gopal. The old Sundarananda Gopal?
Yes.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Where are you these
Thank
days?
Thank you. I'm sorry?
Where are you these days?
In Pennsylvania.
Same place. Okay.
Same place.
Anyway,
with Shesha Shaya Vishnu.
Thanks for Okay. Thanks for coming on.
And our
on.
Families.
What a great surprise. Thank you.
Thank you for a great class.
I'll come out there. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I'll come out sometime, visit you all there.
Okay. We would love that.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bhavara, Shastra Das.
Shastra, what do you get on the plane tomorrow? Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm working out with Madhavananda, and, you know, we're trying to get everything together, and we're pretty excited, and I got, you know, Kinchana, and I got a fabulous kirtanir from Vrindavan, really one of the best. They actually fly him all around the world, and so he's going to, he called me today, he's coming, his name is Kirtan Premi.
Okay.
We got some good kirtaniers. Yeah. So,
that's amazing.
We're looking forward to it. Yeah, and Yadavar and Vishaka and Lakshmi Moni and Akuti. So, a lot of nice people coming. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
I know, Shastri, you just can't wait, right?
Oh, I cannot wait. Nope.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Gordon Bhakti Das.
Okay, we'll be there soon at your house and mark it on my calendar. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Kadamba
Maharaj.
Hey, I'm meditating. My computer crashed, so I couldn't do the thing with the calendar. I'm kind of figuring out a date when I can come over there down your way. Great. How many people are listening today? Great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Can you hear me, Maharaj?
Yeah, who's that?
Chaitanya Priya. Hare Krishna.
Hi, Ram.
I have the phone mute. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Thank you. Good. Wow. One more? Okay. Thank you all.